Well, everybody, would you focus your mind? Search for the truth and you will find. Good spirit and strength from within that fights against all sin. Well, I should walk across the land that has been chosen.
I know y'all was thinking, what is Tondi doing with that music on? Slip a little reggae up there on you. Thanks to Margaret Le Freak Le Peak. Thank you, Maggie, for that. How y'all doing this evening? This is Tondi Sizwe Shimaringa with our Friday evening talk back edition. We want to take a extraordinarily brief look back at the week past and what's coming up. A lot of good stuff coming up. What I want to do, though, in terms of talking about this past week, it's only so much I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to go into everything that happened. I was out of town for about 6 days. I was in Washington, D.C. to attend the March for Women's Lives that was held on Sunday, April 25th, 2004. The last time there was a reproductive rights march in Washington, D.C., I believe it was 1992. There were approximately 750,000 people who came together. And the march organizers were hoping that they would exceed that 750,000, but they put the march permit at 750,000 just to be safe. But they were hoping on over a million. Well, if you pay attention to Fox News, nobody showed up. But according to march organizers and even CNN, there were approximately 1,150,000 people who showed up for this March for Women's Lives. Now, depending upon whose website you went to or what your particular strain is, Planned Parenthood, NARAL, National Abortion Rights Action League, the Ms. Foundation, National Organization for Women, then you were under the impression that it was simply a march for choice, a march for the right for women to control their own bodies, i.e., for women to have the choice of aborting a pregnancy or not. But there was a very large contingent of women of color at this march, probably more than at any other time in the history of a reproductive rights march. And these sisters came in saying, you know what? No more tail end stuff. We come in as equal partners and we're going to change this and broaden it out. It's not just a march for choice. It is a march for women's lives. Now, what was meant by that was that it's not just a choice of having a child or terminating a pregnancy. It's a choice to have a child and raise that child in a healthy environment, in a healthy home, in a healthy neighborhood, a healthy community, a healthy world, and a healthy planet. The issues of poverty, of racism, of homophobia, of economic injustice cannot be divorced from the right to decide whether or not to have a child. Those types of things impact on whether or not women are going to have children. And so the march organizer said this needs to be a march not so much for reproductive rights, but for reproductive justice, justice being all encompassing. And so that is part of the reason why it was such a large march. March organizers changed the name to the March for Women's Lives. A lot of the material that went out talked about the fact it was to demand reproductive justice, health, housing, access, choice, abortion, and global and family planning. Some of that information did not get out, however. Some people still just called it a march for choice or what have you. And that's, you know, really neither here nor there. The point being is that it was the largest march for reproductive rights in history. Some say it was the largest march in history at well over 1 million people. Last night in Leimert Park, the California Black Women's Health Project had a report back on this march with one of the march organizers, a sister by the name of Loretta Ross, who's been doing reproductive rights work for about 30 plus years now. It was a very well attended forum in Leimert Park, and it was broadcast live here on KPFK. Because of a last minute snafu, i.e. I didn't know what I was doing, we were unable to play for our KPFK listeners last night and the audience members some excerpts of the sound gathered from that march. So what I'm going to do tonight is play a couple of clips from some people who I talked to at the march. And we're going to start with this first clip. Let me give you the background on this. The March for Women's Lives, they had a number of different co-hosts. Kathy Najimy was one. Lisa Gay Hamilton of Bia, Black Woman Speaks, was a co-host. I forgot her name. Whoopi Goldberg was also a March co-host. And when Whoopi got up, she got up on stage with a white coat hanger. And if you weren't there, then, you know, you don't really understand. But I was sitting there on the grass next to a sister, and Whoopi held up this coat hanger, and she said, "This was our choice before Roe versus Wade. This was it. We're not going back there ever again. Never again." She led the participants in a chant of never again. And it was kind of an emotional point for a lot of people. I was sitting next to an older sister, a Muslim woman, as a matter of fact, who came to the March for Women's Lives and March for Women's Lives. And she began to tell me about her experience. She said, "You know, I know what that's like," talking about that coat hanger. So naturally, I whipped out my little mini disc recorder. I said, "I got to get this down because of what it symbolizes to so many people." So, you know, people under the age of 30 don't really understand about that coat hanger. I know I didn't, but she broke it down for me. And so this is what she was talking about.
Yes, I know about it very well because I experienced it personally. I was pregnant as about 19 years old, and I didn't want to have a child at that point in time. I was in college, and I was getting ready to move to California, and I felt that, no, I can't go through this. So some friends recommended me to a woman, and I went to her, and needless to say, I wasn't quite sure what it was that she actually stuck up inside of me, but whatever it was, it did induce abortion of the fetus inside of me. And about a day or two later, I had hemorrhaging, a lot of hemorrhaging, and my mother wasn't even aware of what had happened, and she wasn't sure what was going on. All she knew was that she needed to get me to the hospital. And after that experience, there were other sisters that I was talking with who also did similar things to themselves or had someone else to do that. And many of them were unable to have children later on because, I mean, obviously it's not the way to do it. And for me, I thank God I was able to have a child later in life, and I also have a grandchild. But that just seeing that hanger at times, to tell you the truth, even when I see a wire hanger now, I get a little fearful. Not that I'm going to do anything or that anyone else is going to do anything. The most I would use that for now is to probe into a toilet, okay? And that is surely not something that you want up inside of your body. That happened in the 60s, the late 60s, in fact.
That was a Muslim sister who I spoke with, found myself sitting next to at the March for Women's Lives in Washington, D.C. The Women of Color contingent there was organized primarily through a group called Sister Song. Sister Song is a movement of individuals and organizations for reproductive justice. And it sees reproductive rights, reproductive justice for women of color as a human rights issue. I had the opportunity to speak with one of the co-founders of Sister Song.
Luz Rodriguez.
What organization are you with?
I'm the co-founder of Sister Song, the Women of Color Reproductive Health Collective. The time has come for people to understand that reproductive health is a human rights issue. And if a woman doesn't have her full human rights, reproductive health is one of the consequences. But there are other consequences, particularly with women of color, that are threatening the women's well-being. So those of us who have been in the reproductive health movement realize that the framework needs to broaden the realities of what women of color face. So it's really human rights issues the bottom line.
How long have you been involved in this work?
I became involved as a young college girl when I started finding out that Puerto Rican women on the island had been used as guinea pigs for the contraceptive pill. This was, I believe, back in the early 50s, when the contraceptive pill was being tested. Puerto Rican women on the island were seen as appropriate specimens to test the pill, and these women were given 10 times the normal dose that's allowed now. And they were being tested without informed consent. There are also reports of sterilization abuses where women were sterilized without informed consent on the island. And what I learned is that reproductive and contraceptive technologies were being tested and implemented as a population control issue. When it comes to people of color, the government's interested in population control, and that's what reproductive technologies and issues were about with respect to the powers that be. So when you include women of color's issues, that's why it becomes a human right issue and a racial justice issue and an equality issue beyond a woman's issue.
Among those who attended the March for Women's Lives were Hillary Rodham Clinton, Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, a lot of politicians who you may or may not know. I didn't get to see everyone. One politician I did get to see is a United States representative from the state of Texas. I was asking her why she came to the march.
Sheila Jackson Lee. I'm a member of Congress in the 18th Congressional District in Houston, Texas. I believe that this has to be one of the singular most important moments in America's history for women of color, for the disenfranchised, for women of America. I'm here because I believe, even though when the Constitution was written, I was two-thirds of a person, I believe the constitutional concept in the Bill of Rights was written for me. The 14th Amendment of equal protection under the law and the 9th Amendment, the right to privacy, the right to protect those rights reserved for the people. We have lost, over the last 4 years, many of those rights, whether it's a question of choice, whether it's a question of equal access to health care and the fight against HIV/AIDS and the acknowledgement that more African-American women are dying between the ages of 25 and 44 by HIV/AIDS, whether it's child care, whether it's the question of young men and women that come from the inner cities of America and rural America dying in Iraq, one by one, two by two. This is a statement that we want to take our country back. We are a nation of people and of laws, but the people are here to speak of the tragedy of what we are facing, and the only way we can do this is by galvanizing and providing that engine of power to make a difference.
In addition to politicians, there were a lot of celebrities there. Cameron Manheim, as I mentioned, Whoopi Goldberg, Lisa Gay Hamilton, Gloria Steinem was there. Susan Sarandon was there. Margaret Cho was there. Another sister came, and she ended up going on the stage with the Women of Color delegation. She didn't want to make a statement at that time. She just came in solidarity. But I had to ask her why she was here. Her name is Wanda Sykes. She's a comedian, best known for her work on The Chris Rock Show. This is what Wanda told me.
I'm Wanda Sykes. I'm here because I believe in the cause, and this administration has just gotten out of hand, and they are like, I think after they finish up with Iraq, we're next. I mean, women, we're being attacked, and we got to tell them to keep their grubby bits off our bodies. You know, I bet you if Halliburton had a contract for abortion clinics, they'll be mandatory. They'll be making us all get abortions. Dick Cheney, all of them, they'd be knocking women up left and right just to make them go to Halliburton to get their abortion. So, I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them. We all need to get out there, vote in November, vote, get these monkeys out of office. They're evil. Get them out.
So
I find some funny in it. It's not even about being, you know, the funny. It's about, you know, just a cause. And, you know, and that's what comics do. When we see something's wrong, we see there's a problem going on, you know, it's our job to point it out, you know. Gotta expose it. Thank you. Get your abortion, Halliburton.
Yeah. That was Wanda, Miss Sykes, Miss Wanda. That was her position for coming to the march at that point in time. She wanted to stand in solidarity with the women of color, and they were happy to have her. My name is Tonda Sizwe Shimoringa, and you're listening to the Friday Evening Talk Back, where we want you all to sound off. We're going to be taking your calls about 7:30 at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We are running back over the March for Women's Lives, which was Sunday, April 25th in Washington, D.C., the largest demonstration, we believe, in history, 1,150,000 people. I spoke with a Muslim sister at the march who told me about her experience with abortion as a young woman. And she had a lot on her mind that she wanted to share, so I allowed her to do that.
As far as pro-choice goes, I can't say that I honestly feel that I believe in abortions at this point in my life, but I do feel that a woman should have the right to be able to do what she feels is necessary for her and her body. And I don't want any man or any woman to say that they are the ones who are going to determine through some law, some state law, that they are the ones who will say, no, you can't do this. I mean, and if it's that important, I would like to see them being a lot more active, a lot more proactive with our health care situation. Our health care is deplorable in this country. To think that this is supposed to be one of the richest countries and their biggest issue is about abortion, yes or no, when there are people dying from high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, HIV, and on and on and on. Our children, they can't get the proper health care that they need. Our elderly. Myself, I'm a professional woman, and I don't have health insurance. I resent the fact that the people in our Congress or our legislators seem to feel that this is the only issue that they need to sit on and deal with every year. I'm tired of it.
One last question. You said that you are Muslim.
Yes, I am.
But even though that you are Muslim, you still believe that a woman should have choice.
This is really, I may have a lot of people that would come out against me saying something like this, but women do have choices. Even in Islam, they have a choice. They will have to deal with it with Allah and on Judgment Day. But and I'm not, again, I am not advocating abortion, but I am advocating choice. And the choice has to do with free will. And you have to make your own decision, and you have to be the one who has to live with that. But I don't appreciate and don't like having someone else sitting in judgment of my life and my body. Thank you. I'm from the D.C. area. I'm over 50.
That was a clip of a Muslim sister who declined to give her name, and I honored her request, but I wanted to get her story to share with all of you. This last clip, I think, puts it all into perspective, especially for women of color as far as their lives are concerned.
Dazon Dixon Jallo. I am the founder and president of Sister Love Incorporated, which is a women's HIV, AIDS, and sexual reproductive health and rights organization in Atlanta, Georgia. And a couple other things. I also am a professor of women's health in the School of Public Health at Morehouse School of Medicine, and I teach in the Women's Studies program at Spelman College.
See, I didn't know you did all of that. Then I'm not going to ask you why you're here today.
And then I host and produce Sisters Time on WRFG 89.3 FM Atlanta, a Pacifica affiliate.
So then, how did you find the time to come here today? Let me ask you that then.
I made the time to come here today. As a matter of fact, I took my scholarship, and instead of buying a plane ticket, I rented a car so that we could bring more. With Sister Love, our work has been at the intersection of HIV and sexual reproductive health and rights. And the only way to keep HIV in the conversation is to make sure that we articulate it in a way that people understand HIV as a reproductive rights issue, as an issue around choice, as an issue around women's sexual rights, sexual identity, sexual expression. And there's room to talk about that right here. So that's why we're here. Full. We also are a member of Sister Song, Women of Color Reproductive Health Collective, a national body of women of color, individuals and organizations, who all are working from the same agenda around women of color and our reproductive health and our reproductive health challenges with regard to justice and health care are extremely important, especially for women living with HIV. So we organized a bus to say that.
So how many people did you come here with today?
Well, I don't even really know the number. I know that we had a full bus of about 40 plus people. We also had a carload. We also had at least 4 or 5 people coming in on the airplane. And that's just the Sister Love part of the delegation. Georgia came in full force with about 16 buses, I believe. And we're just here. I don't even know, but we're making up a million.
You're listening to Friday Evening Talkback here on KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, worldwide at kpfk.org. My name is Tonda Sizwe Chimaringa. We're going to go to your calls at about 7:30-ish, but right now we're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Space Waves Radio.
Tune in, turn on to music. From Folkways to Sun Ra and what's in between. Spaceways Radio. Fridays, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. Broadcasting on the World Wide Web at kpfk.organized. We must be. Let's get beautiful.
Space Waves Radio.
Of all the evil that will have to end.
It will, oh yes, it will. Does it have to be?
All right.
It will end.
All right.
All right.
It's all right. We are here on Friday Evening Talkback. My name is Tonda Sizwe Chimaringa, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM. Tomorrow is May 1st, also known as May Day. Now, I ain't trying to throw no salt in nobody's game or nothing, but I remember one time somebody told me May Day is when all the communists like to go out and get beat up. Now, that's not cool. You know, this day has a history, and for some reason, that's what it all comes down to. So I had to go and, you know, I had to go do my little Google thing, and when it talks about, you know, May Day, it's not the day when all the communists go get beat up. So next time you hear somebody say that, just slap them. May Day is a working class holiday that evolved from the struggle for the 8-hour day in 1886. May 1st, 1886 saw national strikes in the U.S. and Canada for an 8-hour day. You know, I'm one of them people who don't like to work 8 hours. I can't imagine the workday being longer than 8 hours. It used to be longer than that. So this May 1st, 1886 saw demonstrations called by the Knights of Labor. And in Chicago, police attacked striking workers, killing six. Police attacking workers. Now, where have I heard that one before? May 1st, 1886, the police, Chicago police attacked striking workers. The next day, at a demonstration in Haymarket Square to protest the police brutality, a bomb exploded in the middle of a crowd of police, killing eight of them. Uh-oh, they done went and killed some cops. The police arrested eight anarchist trade unionists, claiming they threw the bombs. To this day, the subject is still one of controversy. The lore that has come down, of course, is that the anarchists are the bomb throwers. The question remains whether the bomb was thrown by the workers at the police or whether one of the police's own agent provocateurs dropped it in their haste to retreat from the workers who stood their ground and were charging. In what was to become one of the most infamous show trials in America in the 19th century, but certainly not to be the last of such trials against radical workers, the state of Illinois tried the anarchist working men for fighting for their rights as much as for being the actual bomb throwers. Whether the anarchist workers were guilty or innocent was irrelevant. They were agitators, fomenting revolution and stirring up the working class, and they had to be taught a lesson. Albert Parsons, August Spies, or Spies, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, S-P-I-E-S, George Engel, and Adolf Fischer were found guilty and executed by the state of Illinois. In Paris in 1889, the International Working Men's Association, the first international, declared May 1st an international working class holiday in commemoration of the Haymarket martyrs. The red flag became the symbol of the blood of working class martyrs in the battle for workers' rights, working people's rights. May Day, which had been banned for being a holiday of the common people, had been reclaimed once again for the common people. On tomorrow, May 1st, there's going to be a caravan for justice for immigrants. The caravan starts at 12 noon at MacArthur Park, 6th and Alvarado, with a rally. Then people are going to board buses to the federal building in Westwood for a 1 p.m. rally to send a message to Bush. Then there's going to be a stop in Santa Monica at Schwarzenegger's office at 2:30 p.m. And finally, a march through Koreatown at 4 p.m. I don't have a phone number for the info on this march, but you can send an email to ysno22@hotmail.com. That's ysno22@hotmail.com. Also, May 1st, calling all soldiers, veterans, workers, students, and families, there's going to be a march against the war in Iraq. Military recruiters out of the communities in all occupations at home and abroad, stop attacking workers and immigrants. This is going to be at 11 a.m. at Santa Ana Memorial Park, 2100 South Flower Street in Santa Ana. It is initiated by Communities for a Democratic Society. For information, KPFK listeners can call 714-235-6083, or they can send an email to humanrights68, that's one word, humanrights68@yahoo.com for more info or to endorse this march. Tonight on Nightline, after you take a break from listening to all of the wonderful music that's going to be on KPFK Spaceways with DJ Carlos Nino, Divine Forces with Fidel X and crew, just before Asiatic Rhythms comes on Nightline, the group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, for Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting has issued an action alert. They're stating that ABC's broadcast will be devoted to reading a list of U.S. soldiers who have been killed in Iraq. But the Sinclair Broadcast Group, which owns several ABC affiliates, has announced that it will not air the Nightline special on its stations tonight. Fair believes that that is a form of censorship and wants people to get involved as a result of that. You can go to their website, www.fair.org, and check under activism for the Sinclair Group and the Nightline controversy that's going to air tonight, April 30th, 2004. Now, it's a whole lot of things to get involved in. There's no shortage of stuff to do. You don't have to be afraid that you're going to go out tomorrow and get beat up like the communists. It is a holiday for regular people, for working people. It is a day where we need to reflect back that at one time, children were dragged into the workplace. At one time, there was no vacation pay. There was no sick leave. There was more than an 8-hour day. So we've got May Day coming up tomorrow. We've just left the March for Women's Lives, which had an extremely large contingent of women of color making their voices heard and known. So I'm assuming that there's a lot to talk about. There are people out there who've got a lot on their minds. So let's find out what's happening with y'all. Our number is 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. Why don't we go to Leslie and see what she has to say?
First off, I'd like to say you're doing an excellent job. I listened to your show yesterday, and I was quite touched with the poets as well as the brilliance of Loretta. You had some
Weren't them poets bad?
Oh, they were awesome.
They bad.
Awesome. But combined with the wisdom of those wonderful women and also the guests, the people in the audience that spoke, it was very enlightening. And I wish I was in Washington marching with most of you. But I just, like I said, besides compliment you on your great work,
okay.
But I think we also need to do some shows about educating people about taking responsibility for their own sexuality, as well as being able to be firm about protecting themselves. And I think a lot of people that I talk to, especially women, they're not very strong on their own identity about how they bring up, protecting themselves and not being coerced into doing certain things.
Well, I don't know the age range of the women you talk with, but mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to take responsibility for your own sexuality if you're being fed abstinence-only
education. Oh, no, I
agree
with you. No. I'm right. Totally with you on that. I'm uh-huh. just saying is that not only when it comes to reproductive rights, but women understanding that young women as well, nobody's going to protect us now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We have to learn self-defense. We have to educate ourselves how to get out of bad situations. There are males that get sexually abused too.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm just trying to say is that on KPFK, and I don't know how you guys want to do it, but healing some of this the relationships between people and trying to take responsibility for our own safety, because what the reality of this government is, they're not going to teach us anything.
Mm-hmm.
We have to teach each other and ourselves how to protect ourselves as best as we can, and that might be going back to some of the ancient wisdom as well as the modern wisdom is too. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I understand, and I appreciate you calling in with that comment.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Line 3, let's see. This name looks familiar. Never Fail Blind. Oh, Christine!
Hey, Tondi.
how you doing, Christine? Didn't I just see you somewhere?
I saw you at the March for Women's Lives.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
I just was. I know there's a lot of callers. I'm sure that you want to get to them. I just wanted to say I listened to your special last night, and I was moved. I was impressed with your scope and your talent, and I'm just 100% behind you. And I didn't get a chance to say congratulations on that show last night.
Why, thank you, Christine.
Well, you rock, sister.
Is that all you wanted to call up and tell me?
That's all. That's all.
Well, I do appreciate that, Christine. I really do.
Well, I'll get off the line so other people can talk to you, okay?
Thank you, Christine.
All right, thanks.
Let's see about Barbara in Los Angeles.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I really appreciated your coverage last night and tonight, and mm-hmm. it's helped me have a better understanding and expanded understanding of what women's reproductive rights are. So I just wanted to thank you for that. And I'll get off the air.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Elizar in Northridge. Whoa!
My apologies.
What you doing?
My apologies.
You tripping, Elizar.
Okay. I was painting.
Oh, put the phone on speaker and went away. All right.
But I just want to say that I was listening to the show, and I must say, first of all, I'm a clinical psychiatrist. Bush is a very scary individual. I mean, I have never seen someone that the world literally is united in hating this man. I mean, and it's sort of an inverse reaction, because he's going to get the very thing that he doesn't want, and that's a unification of all people with a common goal of getting this man out of office. And one thing I just wanted to add, and hopefully the listeners could understand, and I think they will. As a psychiatrist, Bush exhibits classical symptoms of a psychopath. No, really.
You're going to go there, huh?
I mean, he's a psychopath. And a psychopath is a person that knows right and wrong. They simply ignore the concept. They're literally very intelligent. They're not like a neurotic or a psychotic.
Wait a minute. Very intelligent?
Well, yes. Psychotics
okay, so
are...
So how does Bush factor into that?
Well, obviously, he's in control of his faculties that he's able to dupe, or at least attempt to dupe, people through various speeches, so on and so forth. And that's literally what psychopaths are able to do. Very, very well-adjusted people in society. Many of psychopaths are actually very successful, as opposed to a psychotic who just cannot deal in society, or a neurotic that is worrying over something, you know, endlessly. But psychopaths are people that basically ignore morality. Mm-hmm. And Bush and his crew are classic individuals of that sort of symptom. And it's just a very good thing that Bush is here, because he is going to unify the world to get this man out of office. I mean, it's literally like the devil. I mean, it's is it not?
Okay.
I mean, this is literally an assault on nature. Yeah. I mean, he's anti-life, anti-everything. I mean, it's an abomination. And I thank you for your show, your energy, your spirit, and just, you know, keep doing what we have to do, and that's to unite. I'm glad they stopped the voting machines. That's another plus. That, I mean, can you imagine that? Anyway.
Thank you so much, Elazar, for your call. Thank you for your comments. Before I go to Gordon in South Central, our number is 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. Give me a call. Let us know what's on your mind. Gordon.
Hello.
Hello.
I really enjoyed the show last night. I wanted to get over to Leimert Park, but it was... my phone battery's weak, but it was too late for me to get over there. I wanted to bring up, if that guy's a psychiatrist, I think I'll drop the subject. I don't see Bush as being a psychopath. He's immoral, and he's brainwashed completely. I think he's sincere about his religion, which is even more scary than classic psychopath.
Okay.
But I wanted to bring up a subject. I'm 70-year-old white guy, and an addict, long-term addict. I haven't used, I'm on methadone for several years now. But, you know, I understand how repressed the black people have always been in this society. But I'd like to put in a for addicts, I think that we are currently the most enslaved and repressed people. It's society at large has been taught that they own my arm, and I think that that's causing a lot more problems than it's. And I wish that there were more progressive addicts and ex-cons, and unfortunately, they're not right now. I can attest to that from my own experiences, but you need to help us out too, please.
Okay, all right. I'll take that. I'll take that, Gordon. Thank you so much
for
your call.
Thank you very much.
And I do take that seriously. You know, we're attempting to do things here at KPFK by providing opportunities for communities that don't always have a voice to share their voice with the world, but not only sharing of their voice, but to network and to find solutions and to promote those solutions. So we're gonna work on that. We're going to go now to Fatima in Studio City. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. I'm sorry, this is not related to the show. There's
a
protest going on.
It's not?
Okay. No, I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
There's a protest going on at the corner of Laurel Canyon and Ventura in Studio City. And now all these pro-war people are showing up, and they're starting to outnumber the anti-war people. So I just thought I'd call KPFK and encourage people to go to the corner of Ventura and Laurel Canyon as soon as you can and support the anti-war protest. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Vanessa in Santa Barbara.
Hello?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm cool.
Well, I seem to be one of the only people that didn't get to hear your amazing show last night. I'm really bummed out about that. But, you know, hey. What I did see yesterday, though, here in Santa Barbara was a protest against recruiters on City College campus.
Okay.
And it was really it was really sad to me because there was all of this passion. There were these students, there was three student organizations that gathered to make this coalition to protest the recruiters, and they were protesting the policies of the Bush administration, but they were taking it out on the people that are implementing it. And the way I see it, you know, military personnel and police officers, they're kind of in the same boat of their job is to implement bad policy, but they don't actually write the policy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can hate the message, but don't kick the messenger in the head. And they just weren't getting it. And they were just screaming at all of these people and screaming at each other. And a lot of them were saying the same thing, but they weren't hearing each other because they were all so busy screaming at each other. Mm-hmm. And it was so frustrating because there's all this passion, but it's really not being channeled well. Mm-hmm. And I hope some of them are listening because, you know, if screaming, it was just destructive. It just further opened a rift and a gap that the woman that just previously called, you know, the pro-war versus anti-war, oftentimes they're all in support of the same thing, but they're coming at it from different angles, and they never stop to talk to each other to see it. And that gap, that rift, that ever-widening rift is what the people in power play upon to keep us separated. Mm-hmm. And until, you know, young people of my generation understand that democracy is not just getting out in the streets, but also voting and holding those elected representatives accountable for the bad policy they implement, mm-hmm. then nothing's going to change.
Okay.
And I think that's really pretty much what I want to say. And also, for people to listen to each other, to stop and take the time to hear why people have the position they have. Because usually everyone has an opinion, and it's usually pretty well thought out. And it's, you know, it might differ from yours, that's okay. But instead of telling them, oh, you're wrong, you know, that's lame. It's an opinion. It's not fact. It's not right or wrong, but it can be swayed. And usually if people are educated and if you give them the space to learn something, they might change it. And, you know, you'll get more flies with honey than vinegar,
okay,
well, as the old adage goes.
Well, thank you, Vanessa, for your comments.
Thank you.
I don't know if I agree with you, but thank you for your comment. We're going to go now to, what is this name? Let's see. Sister Uhuru. Uh-oh. Am I in trouble, Maggie? Uhuru means freedom. Sister Freedom.
Greetings, sister. Thank you for doing the critical work. Thank you for rolling up your sleeves and getting down with us. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed the program last night. I believe one of the audience members, I believe it was Dan Robinson Flint, had asked the question about, you know, so what, where do we go from here? Was there an agenda established or what? So that's one thing that I wanted to ask about since I wasn't in attendance at the actual march. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, when you were talking to some of the sisters that were there, were any of those sisters making connections to the issues that sisters here have in the Pan-African community, as well as the sisters at home have in Africa? Mm-hmm. You know, was any of those issues discussed, or did you come in contact with any sisters who were bringing that issue to the forefront? Mm-hmm. Thank you again for doing the work, and I certainly will catch you in the whirlwind.
Thank you so much, sister, for your call. Regarding the issues she brought up, Sister Song would be the best place for information on that. Their website is www.sistersong.com. As a matter of fact, the last clip I played of Dazon Dixon Jallo, she has work that she also does in South Africa. We know that South Africa has a very high HIV rate. The global gag rule, which says that the United States will not fund those governments or those countries that mention abortion, that talk about the full range of reproductive services available to women. They cut off their funding, is a major issue of concern for Sister Song, for the women of color contingent, for the women of color group that works on this. So Sister Song would be the best place to start.
In terms of where we go from here, again, I refer you to Sister Song. And here in Los Angeles, we do have the Black Women for Wellness and the California Black Women's Health Project. So just as I said, there is no shortage of things to do. There's no shortage of organizations to network and work with to deal with this issue. Now, I'm going to shut up on that issue. Sistersong.com. Let's check with Izan in Whittier. Is it Izan?
Evan.
Evan, I'm sorry. Somebody can't spell. Evan, how you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Okay, what's going on?
Oh, nothing. I don't know what the topic is, but I was just listening with my dad, and I just think that kids should listen to KPFK, too, because it's very informational, and just kids need to know what's really going on in their country, too.
And you think KPFK does that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that.
I appreciate what you guys do for us. And I just wanted to say thanks, and thanks for being on the air.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Evan.
And Bush is a madman.
And we got to get him out of there. That's right.
Yep.
Thank you, Evan.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
And tell your friends, tell the other children, the other youth or kids to listen to KPFK. Maurice in Compton, what do you have to say?
Hey, how you doing? I'm loving your program. I really want to say we really have to watch this administration because they're going to pull every trick in the book they can to steal this election this year as they did before. The thing with the voting machines and that, we really have to be on our P's and Q's and watch them and just be really careful, you know, because I don't think we can survive again, you know, with Bush in office. Mm-hmm. And that's all I wanted to say. And I just, like I said, I love your program and thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you so much for your comments. Thank you all for your comments. 818-985-KPFK. 818-985-5735 is our number. Steven in Huntington Beach. What's happening?
Death is among us.
In the form of George Bush?
Yes.
Okay.
The black fly is flying.
Yeah, and? I think death is not only among us. It took him. Let's see. Clive in Ojai. Clive?
Can you hear me?
Clive, you got a lot going on. I don't know what's going on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear something.
Oh, but not loud enough?
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Now it's loud enough.
Yes, uh-huh.
You know, Tandy sees with it, which means, doesn't mean love the nation?
Yes, it does.
I come from Itegwini, from KwaZulu, Itegwini.
Okay. Sawubona?
Yebo.
Oh, okay.
And I'm very interested in your name, but I was awestruck by the Women's March. I heard it on KPFK, and then I was able to watch it on C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
There was one slightly incongruous sort of thing for me when Madeleine Albright came on, because I'm familiar with that terrible statement she made,
mm-hmm,
about the 500,000 children who died in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And she was asked, you know, do you think it was worth it? And she said yes.
Mm.
And, you know, here we were celebrating reproductive rights and nurturing children and all that sort of stuff. And I don't suppose she could have been confronted with it, but it really, it made me wonder a little bit, you know, why she was there.
Well, I could go into my spiel, but yeah, you know, there are times when, as they say, politics makes strange bed sisters.
Yes.
Bedfellows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is Chimurenga the name of the musician from Zimbabwe?
That's the name of the music. Chimurenga music.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You and I are going to have to get together for linguistics later. Okay, Clive?
Thank you very much,
Clive. Thank you for calling. Thank you for your comments. Nancy in Long Beach, how you doing?
Hello. Thank you for the show. And it's really good, and I'm very impressed with the quality of programming that KPFK does offer. And one of the things that I'd like to mention that you were referring to earlier in the show was regarding about the birth control and the practices,
mm-hmm,
and the usage of it. And also to include that Native American people and also African Americans in the United States were subject to sterilization in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I'm, after hearing you, I was just, I'm in this sort of dilemma because, you know, I'm all for women's rights, you know, and for them to choose. And, but it's like the birth control, you know, the way it was, the way it started out and it's being tested. And, but then, you know, like even I use birth control. And so, and I'm very supportive of it. But I guess I was just, you know, I'm just wondering, like, it's something that I support, but, and it brings me sadness to the way it started out, you know, with eugenics. And I guess the, it just started out as a negative way, like you said, the reduction of population, mm-hmm. because we were, you know, considered inferior. Mm-hmm. And probably to a certain degree, we, you know, we still are, because we do see, you know, all these attacks on probably social programs and that do help minorities and the working class, mm-hmm. and, you know, people who do sustain the country.
One of the things that Sister Song and the Women of Color contingent brought out is that in regards to women of color, when it comes to reproductive rights, it's a population control program. Whereas for those who are not women of color, it's more of, you know, choice and opportunity as opposed to population control. So, yeah, definitely. Definitely Native Americans, indigenous people, definitely. The Sister Luz talked about Puerto Rican women being sterilized, mm-hmm. being basically experimented on as guinea pigs. So, yeah, most
it's
definitely.
It's just that moral ethics, you know. It's just like, mm-hmm. wow, like we use it and it's just, you know, I'm heartbroken as the way it started out.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Michael in Tustin, how are you doing?
I'm just fine. And I want to tell you all how this Iraq thing got started.
Well, Michael, we don't have all night now.
So. Well, it'll be short.
Okay.
He was musing about not having enough control and domination in his life, and the devil heard him musing and said, "Hey, Bush, what's the problem?" And he said, "Well, I wish I had a people and a land that I could lord over and oppress." And the devil said, "Wow, and well, maybe you need your own little Palestine." And Bush said, "Yeah, that'd be a good idea." And then the devil said, "Would you like to supersize that?" And Bush said, "Yeah." The devil said, "You can have Iraq."
Michael, thank you, Michael, for your
just
call.
One other little thing I'd like to advise everybody to howl like a wolf whenever Bush comes to town, okay. wherever he sleeps, wherever he goes.
Thank you,
just
Michael.
Howl at him.
Thank you, Michael. Let's get William in Santa Barbara. I think this is going to be our last call. So, William, please make it brief.
Wow, I can't believe I made it. hey, thank you so much for your program and for KPFK. One thing I'd like to say is I notice everybody uniting, mm-hmm. and I really appreciate that. I love that, and I think it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And never forget, we're all the same. And I think the majority of people are saying, like, hey, killing people is wrong. And I think it's a very powerful thing.
Okay.
And let's never forget that. And a million people came out to say, hey, my body is mine. Well, hey, our country and other people's country is theirs. And it's wrong to kill people. And anyway, thank you so much for your program.
Thank you. No problem.
Have a good day.
Thank you. We've only got a couple of minutes left. I'm afraid that William was our last call. I want to thank you. I apologize if we did not get to you tonight. I try to let people talk, and I always get in trouble for that, for letting people talk for so long. But this has been the Friday Evening Talk Back edition here at KPFK. I want to remind all of our KPFK listeners to check out www.fair.org. Go to activism to check out what they're talking about in terms of this action alert with the Sinclair Broadcast Group censoring on various stations that they own, Ted Koppel and Nightline tonight. Ted Koppel is going to read the names of the 500-plus U.S. soldiers who have been murdered in Iraq, murdered by their own government. And the Sinclair Group believes that that is not appropriate, and they're going to interrupt that programming. www.fair.org. There's also a march tomorrow in Santa Ana. Gather at 11 a.m. at Santa Ana Memorial Park 2100 South Flower Street in Santa Ana. March Against the War in Iraq. Military recruiters out of our communities. In all occupations at home and abroad. Stop attacking workers and immigrants. It's initiated by the Communities for a Democratic Society. You can call 714-235-6083 for more information. Or you can send an email to humanrights68, that's one word, at yahoo.com. There is also scheduled to be a caravan for justice for immigrants tomorrow, May Day. That caravan starts at 12 noon at MacArthur Park, 6th and Alvarado, with a rally. Then you're going to board a bus, if you're on the bus, or drive to the federal building in Westwood for a 1 p.m. rally to send a message to Bush. You're going to stop in Santa Monica to give Arnie a little bit of something around 2:30. And then I'll march through Koreatown at 4 p.m. Send an email to YSNO22. At Hotmail. I also want to let KPFK listeners, though, know, for those who are interested, yours truly will be hosting a video series, the Free Your Mind video series. It's a consciousness-raising venture that begins tomorrow in Leimert Park. The video series will consist of a variety of videos, new and old, on various aspects of people's resistance to oppression, political prisoners, prisoners of war, Mumia Abu-Jamal and the MOVE organization, the Attica prison uprising, the Weather Underground, etc. Tomorrow we're going to be having a screening and discussion of Negroes with Guns, Robert Williams and Black Power. Robert F. Williams was one of the most influential black activists of the generation that toppled Jim Crow, advocated armed self-defense almost a decade before Malcolm X uttered the same words. In the late 1950s, he was president of the Monroe, North Carolina branch of the NAACP. That is tomorrow, May 1st, in Leimert Park at the Chaos Network, 4343 Leimert Boulevard at 43rd Place. Vegan food will be available. For more info, you can call 323-417-4638. That's 323-417-4638. Or send an email to T-C-H-I-M-U-R-E-N-G-A at yahoo.com. Now, tomorrow's May Day. There are going to be demonstrations. This is a historic day. I want to leave you with this poem by Marilyn Buck, an anti-imperialist political prisoner, to remind you all why we have May Days, why we do the things that we do. This poem is called For Fear of Being Called, and it's by Marilyn Buck. In Peru, a demonstration against a rise in bread prices is stopped because of threats to denounce those who demand bread as terrorists. How greatly we fear language, an electric cattle prod to drive us into corners where we cower for fear of being called terrorists or communists or criminals. How do we allow those who don't give a damn about how we, the 80% live or die, to rob us of our language, to intimidate us into cutting out our tongues and binding our limbs into lameness? How can we be more afraid to be called terrorists than to die in the dark with no one there to speak for us? My name is Tondisizwe Shimaringa. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it.
You've been listening to the Weekly Report to the Listener, and it's a talk back, and we take your calls on Fridays from 7 to 8 p.m. on Community Station, Pacifica Radio, KBFK LA, 90.7 FM, 98.7 FM, Santa Barbara. Coming up next, it's Carlos Nino with Spaceways. Stay tuned. Maybe yearn for the drop. It's the same place
where the crosses burn. The same place where the losses. Listen up, KPFK. We'll be doing a little shifting around of some of your favorite public affairs programs in the evening. We know and understand that this can be a difficult process, and we apologize for doing this again. In this little world of ours that we call broadcast radio, this is sometimes very much a part of our reality. So starting in the month of May, Don Bustani and Middle East in Focus are packing up and moving to Wednesday. Same time, same host, same news and analysis, with a Wednesday vibe to it. We're also pleased to introduce the launch of a new radio program Tuesday evening starting at 8 p.m. That's right after Tuesday Live with Dr. Earl Afari Hutchinson. Freedom Now, with special and surprise hosts returning to the airwaves of Pacifica Radio. Starting the first week in May, Middle East in Focus will now be heard on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. in our new public affairs program, Freedom Now, on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Make a note of it, and thank you for your understanding and continued support.